Welcome back to Arts About.
Show about art, and I'd like to point out, Sally, that it's a work of art in itself.
Very good, John. What an original thought that is this
week. Made in an atmosphere of erudition and calmness.
Ah, of course. That's just what we always try to do each week. Arts About is, of course, brought to you by the generosity of the McClelland Sculpture Park and Gallery and facilitated by the Bendigo Bank Studio. Welcome to another Sunday morning with me, Sally Bailey, an artist in residence and cultural sounding board, John Baird. Mark Stewart's still poorly, but at least the fabulous... you are so mean. But at least the fabulous Brody Guzet is back to keep the technical level of the show up to par, I hope, this week. What have you got for us this week, John?
I'm going to talk about jigsaw puzzles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jigsaw puzzles that you've made?
Well, I had an episode with a large jigsaw puzzle.
Oh, and that sounds really ominous. I can't wait to hear. All right, fantastic. We've got a lot of people to talk to today. In the studio with us this morning is Yvonne Watson, and she's the gallery manager and coordinator of the community art program for Oak Hill Gallery. And she's coming in wearing a couple of hats this week. One's to talk about the Little Archies exhibition that opens there and runs until the end of October, but also, and most primarily, the Summers Art Fair that's on at the Summers Primary School in October the 29th. And she's also brought in with her one of the artists from Oak Hill, Noel Hill, who has an exhibition coming up in November at Oak Hill Gallery. So we're going to chat with them a little bit later. I'm also going to chat with Robin Griffiths, who's head of Moth, about their nomination in the Age Music Awards for this year and find out what's coming up at Moth. We've also got local musician Marty Nelson Williams, who's been a big part of the Moth family since its beginnings, and he's got a gig on at the Western Port Yacht Club in Balnarring in October, where he's going to be performing with two Pauls, Paul Ryan and Paul Dillon. That's the evening of Saturday the 28th in Balnarring, so we'll hear a little bit from him about that. We're also going to be talking with Cameron Robbins, who's the kinetic artist extraordinaire we've had on the show a month or so ago when he opened a small show at Dock Room in Kyneton. This time he's on at Mars Gallery in Windsor with an exhibition called Remote Alignments, and that's opening on the 21st. We are also talking with star of the new Memphis musical that's on at Chapel on Chapel, Elandra Aramia Feo. So it's seriously busy day. So while I'm actually not going to go run into any music, we haven't even got time to do for that.
I know,
it's quite exciting. Let's get on to Oak Hill Gallery. We have Yvonne Watson with us here right in the studio already this morning. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Sally.
Thanks so much for coming into the program today.
Thank you.
So you're very busy. You're wearing a couple of hats at the moment, as I mentioned. But the big one is the Summers Art Fair coming up. Are you... I wasn't sure if you were actually a judge or you were a participating artist this year.
No, I've been the judge for the past 4 years, and we award Best in the Show, and their prize is an exhibition at Oak Hill Gallery for the month, so... It's
That's what the prize is. Yes. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Well, so does that make Oak Hill a sponsor of the?
We are, yes.
Right. And you judge and award that prize. Are there commendations and other prizes that are handed out?
Yes. Summers Art Fair have their own selection of prizes that they have, Best in Show and other prizes that they give out quite separately. But for the past 4 years, we've been judging Best in Show, what we thought, and we offer an exhibition for a month at Oak Hill Gallery for that winner.
So essentially you go down there and just pick someone you'd like to have on the walls in Oak Hill.
But also look at, someone who's got something a bit different from everybody else been down there.
Well, so that's why you would want them there.
Mm. Mm.
So tell us a little bit about the Summers Art Fair. We know already, because John and I have been down there, we've done a couple of live broadcasts from there the past. That it's a wonderful fundraiser. They've got a great catchline, isn't it? Small school, big art, or something like that.
That's right. It's been going now for 15. This is its 15th year, mm-hmm. And they, with all the sales and the auction that they have at 2 o'clock on the main day, Sunday the 29th, they raise an enormous amount of money for their school. So it's a really fun day. As you know, you've been before. They have musicians and gourmet food and other activities throughout the day. So it's a really big event for Summers.
They also have been over that 15-year collecting artworks, because they've got these beautiful totems. That's sort of been one of the things that's been a big regular in there, are the big chainsawed totem poles. I've forgotten the artist's name, Christine...
Wiggly,
that's right. Her magnificent totem poles.
They're amazing, yes.
And the ones that the children do as a response to the work that she's done there.
No, it's a really special day. And I think if you're looking for something a little bit different, it's good to go down to Summers on Sunday the 29th and check out what's happening down there. Look at the wonderful art and enjoy all the activities that they put on for the day.
Now, it's a big day, so obviously it requires quite... There's a lot of people going behind it. Oakhill are obviously one of the sponsors. Who else is putting in for this?
They have a variety of sponsors, but the main ones are The Coast and Ace Wall and Trust and Bendigo Bank, of course, and Removals by the Bay and Mornington Plintershire and RPP and a few others. Mm. So it's a great selection of sponsors there that support them each year.
Yeah, well, it's all for the kids, isn't it, which is a wonderful
Absolutely.
Thing. When does it open?
It's on Sunday the 29th of October and the main auction starts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so try and get there before that starts. It's really exciting. Yeah.
I remember from previously that all the work is displayed. You can go around and through various classrooms out there and have a look at all the different work that's been submitted. It's hundreds of pieces of work, isn't it?
They're in the main school area. There are... works to buy off the wall, but there's another section at the front of the school which have the works that are for auction there, so it's two separate areas.
We're going to have to rush through it. Mm-hmm. You've got the Little Archies, of course, are on at Oakhill at the moment, aren't they?
Yes, we're on till the end of October, and also next month we're having Noel Hill and the Rye Community House group of artists are exhibiting at Oakhill in November.
And by absolute coincidence, Noel Hill is sitting on the other side of the desk there. How are you, Noel?
Good morning.
I've been flipping through some of the work that you've been making and can't help thinking that you're sort of very much amongst that school of artists in Australia like Ken Wisson and Guy Warren and maybe some a little bit of that Sydney sort of sketch scene, and they're quite beautiful. I particularly like the landscapes. I think the country road scenes and seascapes are really, really quite lovely, Noel.
When does your exhibition open, Noel?
5th of November.
The 5th, Sunday the 5th.
Yeah. We're opening on the Sunday, that's the 4th, I think, yes. Yeah.
Mm. Are the seascapes and things that we're talking about, are they local seascapes?
Oh, it's a Queenslander.
No, I come down from Queensland.
Do you? Yeah. Oh, my word. Do you live here now?
Dramana.
That's a very unusual move for someone later in life, because it's usually the opposite way around, isn't it?
Well, I have a daughter down here who lives at Mount Eliza, and she's a teacher and she needs a bit of help so often, you know. So I thought, well, I'll come down and spend some time with her, which I have done, but I do like my own space, otherwise there's no space to paint there. So I thought, well, you know, and not much where I am now, but at least it's a transition stage. Yes.
And Dramana's becoming more and more a destination for Queenslanders, Sally.
Is it really?
Now that the marina's in place.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, fantastic too that you've come across Oakhill, because Oakhill, of course, performs this wonderful service that really is much needed on the Mornington Peninsula, which is to create a space that represents local artists and enables local artists to interact with each other and exhibit privately. But Oakhill also curates, doesn't it?
That's right, yes.
Yes, which is, I guess, what the Little Archies is a curated show that you put together.
Yes, it's looking wonderful. If you haven't been to see it, get down before the end of October. There's some outstanding work there from local artists, so it's great.
Yeah, I saw some good things here. I mean, we didn't have a look the other day.
Oh,
the
good,
Little
did
Archies.
You? Yes, I'm going to pop in later on today, yep. I think.
And there's some good stuff on the wall down there. How do you go about, do you get more offered than you can hang?
We do, yes. We try and show everybody that that submits work, but sometimes we have to leave a few out.
Right.
But then we come to our Christmas show where we have everyone who puts things in. We have a salon style and it's normally floor to ceiling with work, so that's great.
So the Little Archies could in fact offer a salon de refusé.
It could. If we hope we get there one day.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today. I'll put a link on our Facebook page, which you can share if you like through your networks, so that people can see A, the Summers Art Fair, and B, the Little Archies, and C, Noel's show. Good luck with it, Noel. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you. Yes.
And
looking forward to it.
Yeah, we are too.
Mm.
Heading into its 12th year as the Age Music of Victoria Awards, and they're opening up their polls to the public to celebrate another massive year in Victorian music. The Age Music Victoria Awards ceremony acknowledges successes of its musicians, venues and festivals who have been voted for by the public in their relevant categories. And from now until Friday, November the 10th, you can vote for your favourite acts, releases, venues, festivals, etc., with 13 publicly voted category awards. Two of our local entities have been selected and nominated in the two separate categories in this. One is the very local Music on the Hill, and the other is Baha. It'd be fantastic if people would vote for it. I'm going to put a link to that voting system on our Facebook page. Both of these two categories, Baha and Moth, are in, are the regional categories, and I suspect that that has probably come as a result of the Music Victoria's Music Crawl, which has begun to try and reach out into the regions and create an interface between artists and venues in the city, and the same in the regional areas. Anyway, there'll be a link on our Facebook page, so go to that. I was going to have a little chat with Robin Griffiths from Moths, but he doesn't seem to be around at the moment. So here's a few messages from our sponsors, and we're going to get after that. We're going to be talking with Cameron Robbins. We had artist Cameron Robbins on the show not that long ago talking about his exhibition Remote Drawings at the Stockroom in Kyneton. And right at this moment, as we speak to him, he's hanging a new exhibition a little closer to home at Mars Gallery in Windsor. Mars was established in 2004 by Andy Dynan and specialises in exhibiting, promoting and building the careers of contemporary Australian artists. Cameron Robbins creates site-specific reactions to the natural world. He's an installation artist who harnesses natural dynamics in ways that manage poetically to describe them to we who don't yet have the words for them, and enable us to see how they interact with the environment of which we are a part. For each location, Cameron constructs a way to translate those natural dynamics into forms or images that we can understand. He uses automatum, photography, film, sound and light, and we see through the prism of Cameron's work, how the universe works. Gravity, tide, wind, atmospheric pressure, heat and time are at play, and through it we can glimpse the workings of the world. Good morning and welcome to Arts About Cameron Robbins. Thanks so much for getting out of a truck or climbing off a ladder, as you must be doing this morning.
Thanks, Sally. Yeah, I've got my head down, putting a few instruments together for the exhibition, which opens on Saturday at 4 p.m.
That's fantastic. We're very excited to see this. Cameron, this exhibition, Remote Alignments, is a combination of many different styles of your work. It's your first show at Mars Gallery, isn't it?
It's my first solo exhibition at Mars Gallery. I've shown a couple of single works here before, but they've very generously given me the entire gallery to run amok in. So I'm actually setting up quite a few different works, on paper, photographs and sculptures from the rooftop all the way down to the large space and the smaller photographic space as well. And I've got two video rooms with various video works playing.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Looks like I might have to book myself a seat.
I think so.
And tell me, are they going to let you, as they did in Kyneton, I did see the after effects of your wonderful, I'm not sure what that big piece was called, I can't remember, but that ended up scratching a nice big hole in the wall. Are they letting you do that at Mars?
Oh, well, look, I don't want to say they're not letting me do it, but I've actually chosen to do an exhibition with no drawing machines in it, which is actually, I know, look, it's very disappointing.
It's a departure.
For the fans and the punters, but there's a lot of results of different drawing instruments that I've done experiments with in the landscape and at different locations, and I've got a few instruments that are more about sort of geolocating, I guess you'd call it.
Oh. Like
for instance, I've got this piece that I call the declinator that is related to, basically it's related to our latitude, you know, of a given location, and so in Melbourne that angle of the latitude is 37.5 degrees. And anyone that's familiar with the telescope mount, if you've ever been to an observatory, they always work on that. The latitude for a given location will determine the angle of the telescope mount. So I sort of always thought it was a good way to relate a sculptural work to the outside world, you know, without cutting a hole in the wall, which I often do in museums. So in this way, I can have something set up that does relate to the, you know, the spinning of the earth and all of that physical reality. But it's quietly and slowly turning inside the gallery, but with these various angles. So that's an interesting one. I've got a few magnetic pieces that line up with the Earth's magnetic field, and they also show, you know, local anomalies. For instance, you know, in a building, they'll be deflected by steel that's inserted into the framework of the building and that sort of thing, and sometimes electrical conduits. So, you know, I'm interested in that sort of, you know, magnetic fields and variations. And then on the roof, I've got a large wind piece that has a light on the end, which comes on at night, and that's really just a movement piece, and we can sort of go up onto the roof and enjoy the view and watch my piece move around.
Is that a nighttime piece?
Oh, look, it's all the time, but at night it does feature very nice, very bright, sort of warm LED light that has actually shines through a piece of crystal from a lighthouse that was dismantled, and I managed to salvage a few pieces of the prisms from the lighthouse, and so I'm using that, so it's like a beacon.
I didn't even know they had a rooftop up there that you could access.
They've got a really beautiful rooftop garden that they've just finished about 6 weeks ago, and they had there was an exhibition, I think it was called Luminance, that was about light-based work, and so they had an inaugural show, and I installed my piece for that. I think, you know, and we also thought I will include it in the exhibition as well, and so I've sort of got all over the building. But everyone's welcome to come up any time. There's some very interesting artworks up on the roof, and it's great to get a bit of fresh air and peace and quiet at an opening, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you'd be much in demand, I would think, at the opening. It sounds like the world's turning towards you at the moment. These exhibitions are getting bigger, and you're doing some really remarkable stuff. Where are you going to next?
Well, next I'm going to Mona, and I'm lucky enough to be doing a very large-scale permanent wind drawing instrument that's 9 metres tall. It's about 10 metres long and comes in, goes from being outside where it collects the wind energy and then drives axles coming inside the building, and it's into the roundhouse that Roy Grounds designed. And we're fitting out the entire room to really set up for at least 50 years of wind drawing. So it's going to be an enormous archive of, you know, this period of environmental activity. And, you know, it's going to outlast me. So it's very interesting. I'm sort of in discussions with Mona about, you know, what happens, you know, in the event that I pass away at some stage. How do we run it? And so it's a very interesting project and really big one, and a lot of design, engineering. I've been working with, you know, great architects. Nonda Katsalidis has helped design the tower.
That is super exciting.
It's super exciting. It's a really, really great one. So, look, I'm just sort of really trying to go for it at the moment and make things happen.
Make hay while the sun shines.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah, that's really great.
What else can you do?
No, exactly. I'm planning to head down there for Mona FOMA in January. Is it going to be in place by then? Probably not.
Yes, well, it's scheduled to open on December the 23rd.
Great.
It's in conjunction with the new James Turrell wing that's opening at Mona. My piece is actually sort of between, the roundhouse is next to the Turrell wing. And so, yeah, James Turrell's installing. Oh, well, they've built the whole wing and designed it around the Turrell works. And he's,
We love him too. He's an amazing artist.
It's going to be very exciting. I heard there was a perceptual sphere to three people at once. And so, at that sort of scale, it's going to be much bigger than the show they did at Canberra, the NGA. And it's all very specially designed with cantilevered buildings over the water and Gansfeld fields. And I can't wait.
Oh, it's like me either. That's really exciting now. That's got my enthusiasm up. Fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Cameron Robbins. Your exhibition, remind me what it's titled. It's called, the one that's on at Mars is?
It's called Remote Alignment.
Remote Alignment. Sorry to be thick. I got so carried away with the ideas going forward. It's on at Mars until what date?
November the 18th, I believe, the finishing date, and it opens, strictly speaking, it opens on Thursday.
Yep.
If that's as long as I've finished all the works, which I'm planning to, and the actual public opening is on Saturday, the 21st of October from 4 till 6 p.m.
I'll put a link on our Facebook page. I'll tag the gallery and so on in it so that our listeners can easily find out details and get along to see it. And also I might even tag your website as well so people can see some more examples of your work and tempt themselves further to get down there. Wonderful to talk to you today. Thanks so much for being on Arts About, Cameron Robbins.
Thank you very much, Sally. Thanks for your time.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
And now it's time for John On.
Indeed it is.
Yes, much faster than we thought. Doesn't time fly, John?
I was, for many years, worked as a picture framer, Sally.
I love that you say picture.
Picture, yeah. And part of that process is dealing with people at the counter when they would come into the picture framing workshop and they'd have something that they wanted to do. And one day a man came in, the doorbell rang. I went out to the counter. There was a man there who was clearly a very busy man.
Mm.
And you could tell he was a busy man because he was wearing an Armani suit and had a gold Rolex.
Oh, yes. That's a dead giveaway, isn't it?
Yeah. Very busy.
A man who works a lot.
And he had under his arm a box with a jigsaw puzzle in it.
Mm.
A large jigsaw puzzle of Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper.
It's a sort of an incongruous mix, isn't it?
All wrapped up in plastic, unopened.
Mm.
And he whacked it on the counter and he said, my aunt has sent this to me and she's going to expect me to put this together. And I frankly don't have the time. So I'm wondering whether I can leave this here and you can have the people here put the jigsaw puzzle together and frame it.
Oh, my goodness me.
And I went out the front and looked on the window and it didn't say jigsaw puzzles assembled. So I said to him, look, I'm not sure that that we've got the time to do that sort of thing, and it's a bit of an out of the blue. I'm not sure that we're even able to do it. And he said, why don't you get your staff to just fiddle around with it at lunchtimes and at their breaks? And I said, well, I am the staff.
I was just going to say. And I've got better things to do.
Well, indeed, yeah. And he said, look, I'll pay for it. And I said, all right, well, look, we'll have a go at it and we'll set up a little book and we'll write down the hours that people are spending doing it. It's a very large, complex jigsaw.
Oh.
And it's going to take some time, obviously. And he said, well, that's the issue because my aunt's going to arrive here next week. And I think she'll probably expect to see it assembled, you know. I looked on the side of the box and it suggested it might take 6 to 12 months. So I said, oh, yeah. Well, look, well, as I said, we'll give it a go, but I'm not going to make any promises. So we set about doing it. And what we did was we had a board and we covered in double-sided tape and we're sticking the bits on. So once we found their spot, we stuck them down so they couldn't move
again.
That's
very brave because I always have a couple of goes. I often will put a piece down and then realise it's the wrong piece.
It took a little bit of dexterity to not stick the wrong piece down, but that was the approach we took. And we spent a couple of days mucking around with this, about half a dozen of us all having a go from time to time, and got through it pretty rapidly till we got to the end and there were 6 bits missing. And as you can imagine, in a picture framing workshop, there's little bits of paper and bits of wood and cardboard and stuff laying all over the floor about 3 inches deep. And there was no way we were going to find the missing pieces. So this was sort of somewhat of a disaster. So I rang Hearn's Toys, where the thing had come from, and asked them if they had another one, because our idea was to get another box and try and find the six missing pieces.
That is ridiculous. You
know. Well, as it turned out, it was a ridiculous thing to sort of think that we might be able to do. But I rang Hearns and they said, no, we haven't got one. But they're made in Northcote, in a factory in Northcote, as it turns out. So why don't you give them a ring? Here's the phone number. I rang them and...
Were the six pieces throughout or were they all together?
All in a little...
Little corner.
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
They weren't in one big hole, but they were all in one corner of the... Anyway, I suggested that we might be able to get a whole set and find those six pieces first. And he said, well, no, that's not going to work because we cut them with a press... And the image isn't always in the same place on the bed of the press. So they're not necessarily going to be the same shape.
No.
I said, oh, that's a problem. And he said, well, I'll tell you what though, why don't you come out and see us and we might be able to do something. So I went out there and there's the press. And he said, I'll tell you what we can do. We'll stick the image down onto a board and then we'll put the press over it and... The pieces won't come apart. It'll just look like it's been assembled. And I said, oh, can you do that?
Ingenious.
And he said, we do it all the time. I said, what do you mean you do it all the time? He said, people like to stick it on their wall and have other people think that they've assembled it. So, but in fact, they've just come here and had us press one out.
Good grief. That is a whole market. That is a market I had never considered.
Pre-assembled jigsaws.
Mr. Armani suit didn't know about that, did he?
No, he didn't. So you can imagine the joy that I was...
Jubilation.
When I came in with a fully assembled and glued down Last Supper. And he was very happy, of course, when he came to pick it up. And none the wiser, he paid through the nose for it.
Yes.
And I started thinking about jigsaws. In fact, I was thinking about jigsaws this morning... And do you know that they started as, a fellow started making them as a map of England and all the counties, he cut them out so that all the counties were cut around the borders and they were given to kids and the kids had to assemble England essentially. Mm-hmm. So all the pieces would fit together where the borders were as a way of them learning where all the counties were, presumably. Yeah. But it's got to the point where it's so complex that digital jigsaws... that you can get over the internet where essentially your brain sits in the middle of a large sphere that you have to organise with the keyboard around yourself so that it completely surrounds you in a sort of the inside of a sphere.
Really? Yeah. Gosh, I've never even heard of that.
I've got no idea what that's about and I'm not going anywhere near it.
Very wise, John.
I might get a pre-assembled one.
And sit inside.
Yeah.
How cute. I love that idea. That's terrific. Well, why don't we now have a listen to a track that is from our next guest, Marty Nelson Williams. This is an album that it's his second album. It's an album he released last year, I beg your pardon. This is the title track called The Seed. You've been listening to the beautiful sounds of Marty Nelson Williams from his second album, The Seed, the title track from that album. Mornington Peninsula singer-songwriter Marty Nelson Williams has been writing, recording, collaborating and touring nationally and internationally for more than 20 years. He's opened for Bob Dylan, The Beach Boys, Bonnie Raitt, local legends, Things of Stone and Wood, Ed Cooper, Paul Kelly, Archie Roach and Shane Howard even. And he's joining us on the program this morning to talk about the latest Peninsula Songwriters event at the Western Port Yacht Club on Saturday the 28th that he, Paul Ryan and Paul Dylan are performing together in. Good morning, Marty. Welcome to AA.
Good morning, Sally. Great to be with you. Thank you.
That's great. It's lovely of you to talk to us today. Marty, tell us first of all, who and what are the Peninsula Songwriters?
I started up Songwriters as sort of a moniker to carry when I first started up Musonite, so 10 or 12, well, probably 12 or more years ago, and just as a sort of theme, I guess, something that a banner I could put it under, because I started in Balnarring at the Heritage, actually, before it all grew into this big community spirited thing, and then the Baja got me to come in and run Muso Nights over there when they were just getting into early days, getting into original music. So Peninsula Songwriters is just what I call that idea of championing local stories and songs from artists on the peninsula.
It's wonderful, and it's been going for a very long time. And are you still fluctuating it between Baja and Balnarring?
I stopped both in the last sort of 3 or 4 years running them. I felt like I'd done enough to get things going in both those places, and that there are enough people to carry the idea on.
Yep.
So the Balnarring Music Night runs every alternate Wednesday, or you know, every second Wednesday out of the Balnarring Hall. And Jenny Taylor and Bob McGoy have been looking after it ever since I left. And Chris Comerford is the current singer-songwriter that's sort of hosting and being the go-to guy there. And at Baja, I'm not sure who's actually running it now. It's changed hands a couple of times, but Nathan loves, you know, original music, original bands. Mm. So that's continuing on the other Wednesdays, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, well, it's very nice to see these things grow, isn't it? And you may know or you may not know, actually, but both Baja and The Moth have been nominated in the Age Music Awards regional venues down here. So it's very exciting, which I know you've been involved with Moth since its early days too, haven't you?
Yeah, I met Robin in the earliest of days up there, and he came down to some of our community gatherings on the land in Balnarring just to introduce himself and to have a look at what was going on in the neighbourhood before he sort of kicked things off up there, and he's doing such a great job. And it's great to have someone else, you know, bringing more music down here and exposing the good stuff that's already here.
Yeah. G'day, Marty.
Hey, John.
How you going, man?
You're right there.
I am right here.
Nice to hear you.
When the awards are handed out, and both Baja and Moth receive awards, are you going to claim those awards as yours?
No, how could I? But it's great that they're up there and being recognised.
Yeah.
I think the peninsula is really, you know, it's going through a really great growth spurt, if you like, and people are looking down here now that weren't looking before and thinking, what's going on down there? There's a lot happening, you know.
Yeah. I think it's been a hotbed for a long time for musicians, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, of course.
You know, there's been so many amazing performers that have come out of this area. Mm. I think maybe what's happening, and it'd be interesting to hear what you think about it, but I suspect that the technologies that are available to artists now make it much more easy for artists that are not in the city to actually generate a successful career and market themselves and so on.
That's definitely the case for independent musicians, I think, and it's changed for mainstream, you know, highly supported musicians. They're aware that to get in touch with an audience base is whether they, you know, it's dependent on the amount of time they put in getting in, you know, letting people know about what they're doing, and that can happen from anywhere in the world. It's quite a liberating place to be as an artist, and I think if we can live with, you know, I definitely moved down here because I needed more headroom, starting a young family and still wanting to be an artist. And I take my hat off to anyone that can do it and live in the thick of the city and still survive. It's pretty tough. It's a tough game, but, you know, I wouldn't be doing anything else, and this is where I like to do it. It's great fresh air, great people, beautiful environment to live in, to bring up a family and to tell those stories. And I can be playing in, you know, in Switzerland a couple of months ago, in New Zealand in a couple of months, Tassie a couple of weeks ago, South Australia, you know, from here. From
it's really exciting, isn't it?
An hour out of Melbourne, very easy. Building, you know, new audiences, discovering us, you know, for the first time. But, yeah, online is crucial.
Tell us about the Switzerland one, because that was quite recently. That was a summer festival, wasn't it?
That was about our seventh tour to Switzerland.
Oh, really?
2005, four or five we started.
Yep.
And we started with this good friend Paul Dillon and I, who'd started the Muso Nights together. Organised some dates for a friend of his from England, from where he was born, actually. Oh, you don't know him, but he's a great guy, plays great piano, and woogie, and they weren't really my style. But we became firm friends straight away. We set up some gigs in Sydney and Adelaide and around Melbourne and the peninsula. And from that, from those gigs, he then went back to England and said, you guys have got to come and play to my friends in England. And we were like, yep, we've always talked about going overseas. And so he set up the first ever tour. And when a Swiss backpacker in Adelaide who went to one of those gigs that we put together heard that we were going to England, he went, oh, you should come and play in Switzerland as well. I see you're coming to England. I put my name on your email list. And he's become the biggest champion of my music and Cousin Leonard's music in Switzerland ever. You know, he's amazing. Oh. And they do it for love, and he's got his own business and just puts together music for us because he loves it. And that was 2004. So we then end up 12 years or 10 or whatever it is down the track, 10 years or so down the track, playing in festivals for the same people that were hosting us back then, but now they run bigger festivals and they love our music. And it's amazing how it just snowballs in a nice organic way, you know. There's no yes. world domination going on in our program at all. So the community spirit that, you know, I found in Muso Night has really sort of carried me through into this phase of my life beautifully.
Wonderful. And Paul Dillon, who's been instrumental in all of this with you, is one of the musicians that you're playing with down here at the Western Port Yacht Club, isn't he?
Yes, he is. We haven't played a gig together for a little while, and he's an old friend and such a great, talented singer-songwriter and crazy man. I love his spirit. So, we're looking forward to getting together on a queer. Having a bit of fun in the hood.
You've also, and Paul Ryan is also playing with you, two Pauls.
Yeah, Paul's been my musical collaborator for the last sort of probably nearly 3 years or so down here. And we recorded the CDP together over a year or so, and we've been playing all sorts of things together. It's great. And he's lifting his head and moving with his family a little further afield. So it's an opportunity for us to, by the end of the year, I think, he's not giving us a firm date, mystery man. But we'll all be together just celebrating. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Wonderful. So tell us about the event on the 28th. Is it the 20th? Yeah. It's the 28th, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, yeah.
Saturday the 28th. It's the Western Port Yacht Club. Is that right? The Western Port Yacht Club in Balnarring.
That's it.
6 till 9.
Yeah, I've been. That's where Muso Night really took off at the Yacht Club many years ago, finding a community. And it's only in the last 5 or 6 months that the Commodore there has got in touch and gone, you know what, we've got the right team together, we're really keen to get music back happening in this space. And so I've been running monthly nights there since about May or June. And it's been on a Sunday through winter, and now it switches to Saturday until about Christmas or so or thereabouts.
In fact, and, I did have Justin Brady on the program a little while ago, who used to be the harp player for Things of Stone and Wood.
That's right.
Which is part of this sequence, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah. So bringing people down, like Robin from Moss, you know, bringing some new flavours down and combining them with some of the great flavours that are already here has been something that, you know, I've been doing for a long time. And this one, however, will be just two local buddies, so Paul Dillon and I and Paul Ryan, which I think is going to be great too.
Bit of new material?
Always.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, always. It's a great format, actually, the Muso Night format, to try new ideas. And for us, well, I think Paul's written a whole lot of new songs in recent months, so I'm looking forward to hearing some of those and maybe joining in.
Which Paul, Marty?
Paul Dillon. Nah, good call. Good call, John. Let's see if Paul Ryan would like to come up with some new stuff that he'd like to showcase as well. That'd be great.
That would be great. Hey, it's been wonderful talking to you today. Thank you so much for coming on the program. And good luck with the gig on the 28th. Hope we might be able to get there.
Great. Sunset session, 6 o'clock start. Should be able to still get tickets at the door, $15.
Oh, yes. Well, that's right. I should have mentioned that. Tickets, how do people get tickets?
If they go to my website, there's a link there. If they go to trybooking.com and type in the date or my name, that should come up. And if they live close to Balnarring, Vicky at the Balnarring Laundrette is the new ticket mistress who's looking after our community tickets.
Fabulous. Well, I will also, of course, put a link on our Facebook page so our listeners can do it easily as well. Wonderful. Thanks again, Marty Nelson-Williams. We look forward to hearing how it goes.
Pleasure, Sally and John. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks,
wonderful.
Marty.
See you, Marty.
Cheers, guys. Bye.
Our next guest is Elandra Eremia Feo, and she's performing in the musical Memphis, which is on at Chapel and Chapel until the 26th of October. It's about a white radio DJ who wants to change the world and a black club singer who's ready for a big break. It's the debut of an Australian production of the show that's based on the original Broadway production, but I understand it's been tweaked to give us a little more intimate view of the story, which I believe is set during the segregation years of 1950s America and is loosely based on the story of Memphis disc jockey Dewey Phillips, one of the first white DJs to play black music there in the 50s. Playing the lead star on the rise, Felicia, who is the central character DJ James Elmer falls for, is our next guest, Elandra Eremia Feo. Good morning, Elandra, and welcome to Arts About This Morning. Thanks for coming to the show.
No worries.
Elandra, can you tell us a little bit more, perhaps, about the story of Memphis and how it came to be?
You pretty much said everything, but it is about a white radio DJ who, you know, wants to change, I guess, the way white people hear music. He loves, you know, African-American music, and he goes to an underground club owned by Delray Farrell, which is pretty much a black club, and hears Felicia singing. He comes and just pretty much falls in love with her because she's an amazing singer, and he promises that, you know, he'll get her on the radio, and he does just that, and then his career pretty much takes off from there and falls in love with a black woman, and, you know, other twists and turns happen as the story goes along. But, yeah, he pretty much changes the music game pretty much, and, yeah.
It's a goosebump story, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's so relevant to today, you know, the whole segregation thing and black and white people not being able to marry, and then the whole marriage equality today. So
yes. 70 years later.
Yeah, pretty much.
Incredible. Your director, Dean Dryberg, is making his directorial debut with this production. Has he brought something original to the Melbourne production?
He has. And you know, it's so different to the Broadway version, but I guess he kind of brought, not, I wouldn't say a darker tone, but he really is bringing out the real hearty, and I guess I am going to say darker tone because it is so real and relevant to today. He really brought just a real perspective on the whole marriage thing and the whole segregation part of the story. And he actually made it such a fast-paced show where there's, like, no blackouts. There's literally every scene just goes, just flows from one thing to the next. So it's never stopping. It's always moving, and that's why it makes it so interesting, because it's so fast and everything is happening all at once. But he is such an amazing director, and he's done such an awesome job.
Oh, that's great to hear. Hard work for you, though, all you on stage.
Yeah, it is, but it just works. It works so well.
I understand it was written by David Brynan, who was the keyboard player for Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi, yeah.
And that it's won quite a few awards already, several Tony Awards, I believe, including Best Musical.
Yeah, it has, and the music is so fun, and yeah, when I heard that he wrote the music, I was like, oh, okay, I wonder what it's like. But it's so fun. It's so rock and roll and so soulful, and it's so relevant to the 1950s, which is such a shock. But, it's great music, and it's so awesome to sing. Even though I'm kind of losing my voice at the moment.
Sure. It's under pressure at the moment. Thanks for taking the time with us. You were in the Australian production, I think, of In the Heights, weren't you?
Yes, I was, with stage art. I was only a singer-dancer ensemble, but it was so much fun. It was great. So that was directed by James Cutler at that time. And
Well, stage arts are interesting, aren't they? They've got a real sort of mandate to cast shows with diversity and equality in them, and showcasing the talent that exists locally. It's very great to see.
Yeah, they are. They're amazing, and Robbie and Catherine, they love doing these kind of musicals because they know that the real commercial based. Productions and they don't really, they kind of stay away from these kind of musicals because they're so diverse, but I love how they just go outside of the comfort zone and love to recruit and hire diverse cast and it just works so well and they're doing an amazing job and I love working with them.
Well, it's great. An exciting role, I would say, for you. And it sounds like a terrific production. I hope I get to see it. It's on until... when does the run go until?
Until the 28th. So we've got extended to the 28th of October.
Fabulous. So there's plenty of time for our listeners to go and see it. Memphis the Musical is running at Chapel on Chapel. You can get your tickets through their website. And, of course, I'll make a link on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for talking to us today, Alandra Eremina Feo, and good luck with it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Hark, John.
Yeah, I can hear that. I'm just...
It's time for the news. There's lots of things going on. Yeah. We've got Whistlewood is still on. That's running through until... They're from Nature Exhibitions running through until November the 12th. Marty Nelson Williams, Paul Dillon and Paul Ryan are playing at the Western Port Yacht Club, courtesy of the Peninsula Songwriters, on Saturday, October the 28th, between 6 to 9. Tickets available from Tribooking. Or have a look on our website. We'll have a link to Marty's website and tickets from there.
The Summer's Art Fair is on at the Summer's Primary School on the 29th of this month. It's a great day out. Music, art and raises money for...
For the primary school.
For the primary school,
which is a very good cause, The Little Archies are also on at Oak Hill Gallery now, and they're going to be remaining there until the end of October.
Cameron Robbins on at Mars Gallery, and you'll get a chance to see some of those incredible films and get up close to the workings of the universe.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that because what I saw up in Kyneton when we went up there and saw what he was up to... encourage me to think that I want to see more.
Yeah, well, there's films, photographs and installations there at Mars, which is very exciting. Tickets are on sale already now for Mona Foma in January next year.
Really?
Yes, I've actually bought mine. I missed Dark Mofo this last year, but I'm not missing Mona Foma.
I heard someone talking on the radio recently about that and suggesting that the performers are getting more and more obscure. And
they are. They are seriously out there. You won't have heard of anybody, or I certainly haven't. Mm. It all sounds really amazing. So I'm just going to go and dip in, see what turns up.
Tim Storey's lithographs are hanging at John Cecil Fine Art in Arthur's Seat Road in Red Hill until the 5th of November. Tim's work characteristically deals with the great expanse of the Australian landscape and the heavens, into which he often places fantastical fires. Yes, Jonathan is going to come into the studio next week to talk about
it. Yeah, John Cecil's going to join us, so that's going to be great. So there's lots of things to do. If you've just tuned in, you've missed Arts About, but we'd love to hear from you. If you visit and like our Facebook page, you'll find links to some of the things we've been talking about on the show, and you'll also get a reminder about what and who is coming up in the next show.